I think as Christians, we long to be Spirit-filled. And then we get jammed up on how to do it because it's hard. Yeah. It means emptying yourself out, carving out self is painful. Like a pumpkin, you can't put a candle inside a jack-o'-lantern until you carve out every last bit of the inside. You know, it says in John 15 about pruning, that God prunes. And Jesus says, that which does not bear fruit, my Father cuts away. And that the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes. So guess what? They're both getting cut up. This cutting away of self is the only way to be Spirit-filled. It's the only way to have an intimacy with the Lord. You have to empty out self. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Romy and Jan, and we're looking at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, which teaches us how to put off the old self. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture. So visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the words put off to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and from each other. I hope you find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. Okay, so what do you think it means in verse 1 to be a living sacrifice? Which, by the way, as we ask this question, I love that we've already dived into this a little bit because we're talking about the ongoing nature, right? So, spoiler alert, we've a little bit already talked about this. But what do you think it means to be a living sacrifice?
I think of the word submission. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's what comes to mind.
Okay.
Submission to kind of, you know, what we were talking about before, you know, trusting him, obeying him, submitting to his will for you, submitting to trusting that mm-hmm. he has you mm-hmm. and he has your circumstance.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Tell me what you think, Jan.
When I first read the question, I thought about living sacrifice, the opposite of living, dead sacrifice. And that's what that was, Old Testament business.
Well, you see, I picked that out in the next question.
So
that's where I was going, yeah.
We are living sacrifice.
I try not to do that. Some Bible study authors will let you know the answer they were looking for mm-hmm. in the next question they ask.
Yeah.
Or the next paragraph. I try to be a little trickier than that. Not to trick you, but to force you to think.
Yes.
And not just give me the answer that I'm looking for, because the beauty of Bible study and fellowship is that you have ideas that I don't have, and that's what I want.
Right.
But that is what I was thinking about too. Although I don't discount your submission, I think they're partnered.
Right.
So say more about Old Testament sacrifice, Jan.
Well, the Old Testament was the animals the were lamb, sacrificed, yeah. And you know, this dead animal was held up. And
right.
worship
in
to God.
What do they call that? There's a word. It's a big word. It is called
not propitiation.
Like, is that the right word? Like, where it's in place of
propitiation.
Is that the word? That's not the word I was thinking of. There's another word. I'll have to think of it. But basically, it is. I'm putting this on the altar in replacement of myself. I'm the one who should be on the altar because of my sin. I sinned. This dove didn't sin. This lamb didn't sin. I sinned.
Right.
But this is a not transitory. It's dang it. There's a word for it. But I'm putting this on instead of me. It is my substitutionary sacrifice. And that's how it worked in the Old Testament. There's a rule. And all through Exodus, it tells you for this worship, you must do this animal. And this is the procedure. And for this, there was a fellowship offering and there was a praise offering and there was a sin offering. And there were all these ways that you had to approach the Lord mm-hmm. to be right with him. And each of them involved some sort of substitutionary sacrifice. So
in that context, and please, I still don't forget what you said, submission is a big part of it, but in that context of the substitutionary sacrifice of the Old Testament, in the context of Jesus Christ as our ultimate substitutionary sacrifice, what then can we extract it to mean that we are a living sacrifice? Does that put a little bit of a different spin on it? What about it?
Well, we've been made alive in Christ. We've been made alive in Christ.
Yeah.
Because of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
We're alive. We are living sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Only because he did it.
Right.
What about what we talked about a few minutes ago? Mm. The incremental nature. Mm. If I sacrifice something and it's dead, if I'm saved and then I die and go to heaven, that is not a living sacrifice. The incremental nature, I think, is what he's talking about here.
Mm.
That each day, this is a churchy phrase, I die to Christ. This is what we're driving at here. Each day, I put off the old self and I put on the new self. And we just talked about how that is a choice. It's a decision and we need God's strength to do it. And it's I said at the outset, it's a vulnerability. It's a sacrifice. I mean, if I'm fully focused on myself, then giving up myself is a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's something that mm-hmm. I have to give away.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to lift out living sacrifice. And then right after it says holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So how is God differentiating our new worship from the Old Testament worship? How is he showing us in that one verse? Here again, we have one verse that is so packed with information and instruction that God is really, and blessing and promise. Mm. It's like you want to spend like a whole day on each one of these things, but we don't have that kind of time.
How?
Spiritual worship.
So what's your answer to that question? Is that how is God differentiating our new worship from the Old Testament worship? What do you mean by spiritual worship, Romy?
Well, it's not bringing, you know, the dead lamb slaughter, you know, for forgiveness of our sin. It's the spiritual worship of like Jan was saying, being new in who we are.
Yep. So what if I had to, okay, I'm going to try to lead you to what I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. We accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is the sacrifice that mattered,
right,
for our salvation, our big S salvation. If I had to ask you for another word, and it starts with an S, that you put on the altar of sacrifice every day.
Sin.
Self.
Both, oh. Actually. Self. Really self.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sin is a part of myself, yes, that I have to give away, give right. up. And at the core of it, you said it earlier, Romy, it starts with my own mm-hmm. thoughts, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we're putting self on the altar every day. That's the spiritual worship. We're putting selfish desires, selfish ambition, mm-hmm. high and lofty thoughts of ourselves, low and inappropriately self-deprecating thoughts.
Right.
God says, this is who you are. This is what you are to do. And here's how you are to walk in my word and my way. To follow those precepts, we must put self on the altar every single day.
Yeah.
So we're still alive, but we're sacrificing that every day. Living sacrifice. I'm alive. I'm still myself. I have a new identity in Christ. I put on the new self. I put off the old self and I put it on the altar.
Right.
And I sacrifice it. Mm. I say old self off, but not just thrown on the ground. Old self off and put on the altar as a worship and a sacrifice, as an act of worship.
That's a really good visual.
It is.
Do you see what I'm saying?
You're being renewed in the meanwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Jan's got good moves.
Yeah, you can't see him. Unfortunately, she did a little dance when she said renewed.
We
she
love
did a
it.
Little dance. Yeah, so I think that's important when we think about living sacrifice. What are we doing with the old self that we're taking off? Are we just casting it onto the ground? That's an interesting idea, but much more appropriate that we take that old self and we put it on the altar as an act of worship.
Right.
To glorify God.
Right.
In our own spirit and in the eyes of those around us. Really I sacrifice good. Myself mm-hmm. on the altar of my God's ways to put on the new self. I give up the old self. I willingly give it up and I put it on the altar and I say, thank you for taking this from me. I give it to you and I worship you that you have given me a new self and I don't have to bear that old self. And it to me, this is not like the altar in my church. This is the burnt offering.
Right.
I want to burn it up, light it up.
Get rid of it.
Torch that old self, yeah. Jesus. Torch it.
Right.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And how beautiful it is to have witnesses.
That's right.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're evangelizing.
And every time I see a change in myself, if I'm vulnerable enough to share that with the people around me, that is a witness. It's a witness to my Bible study. It's a witness to my family. It's a witness to my workplace. I say, we're a Christian people. We own a business. Everybody in that business knows that we are believers. And I'm not shy about saying, let me tell you what God taught me about that. I don't bring it up randomly, typically, because that's just not my style. I wait on the Lord for an opening when someone's like, I'm really struggling with something. You know, they come into my office. I'm the boss. They come into my office. They cry. They have things going on. And I'm like, you know, first thing I say is, you're not alone. We're here for you. You're part of our family. And then I say, if I have wisdom that I've had for my own life, I say, let me tell you what God showed me when I was, and I give God the glory because he's changed me. And, you know, even in, now we have some employees that have been with us for a long time. And sometimes they will say to me, you're different than when I started here. Hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I always tell them, you know, it's in large part because, you know, you guys have helped me to be a better person, but all the glory goes to God because I couldn't have done that on my own. You reflect back to me the ways I need to do better, the ways I need to lead better, the ways I need to love on you better as your boss. But then I have the capability to do that because I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. And so we have these opportunities, you know, to witness to the people around us, believers and unbelievers, because let's not make a distinction that we only can witness to non-believers. Mm-hmm. We are an encouragement to each other. God calls us to be an encouragement to each other. And when I sit in my Bible study or around this table and we talk about the ways that God has changed me or grown me or something he's taught me, that is, an encouragement. The whole thing we're doing here on the radio is we're hoping that it's an encouragement to believers and non-believers. So it's not just like, oh, my testimony is only for non-believers. My testimony is also to strengthen the body. But if I don't share how I'm changing and growing from the inside, then that testimony is muted. So you're right. It's important to bear witness to the sacrifice of self, putting it off of the old self and putting on of the new self. So as much as I love me some Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, I thought it was important for us to talk about Romans 12:1 in the context there. Don't just know the address. You got to know the neighborhood. So as we walk forward into be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And of course it says, don't be conformed to this world. So we'll fill in those blanks. It says, don't be blank to this world, but be blank by the blank of your mind. So we filled in those blanks. They say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I believe strongly that is a product of what we learned just now in verse 1, that we take the old self, we put it on the altar as a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And as a result, our mind can change, which refers us back to Ephesians, in the spirit of your mind, that was the other thing I lifted out. That's how that works. First, we give up as a sacrifice to the Lord. We give up self. And then he comes in and he changes us in the heart and in the mind. Charles Stanley says something I love. He says, being spirit-filled is not about how much you can grab of the Lord. It's about how much he can empty out of you. Because we want to be spirit-filled. So we want to just run around and grasp onto the things of the Lord. But that's not what being spirit-filled is about. Mm-hmm. Being spirit-filled means you must be self-emptied. It's about getting your own stuff out.
Right.
It's about putting your old self off. And when you have someone who you know who's spirit-filled, or when you have a moment of your life when you feel spirit-filled, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, self is off to the side, or it is being torched on the altar. You have, by God's glory and through his strength alone, have laid down yourself, even for that moment or that season. You've been able to put off your own self, your old self, and put on the new self. That's what being spirit-filled is all about. And I think as Christians, we long to be spirit-filled.
Yeah.
And then we get jammed up on how to do it. It's because it's hard.
Yeah.
It means emptying yourself out, carving out self is painful. Like a pumpkin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can't put a candle inside a jack-o'-lantern until you carve out every last bit of the inside. I can't be spirit-filled until God, you know, it says in John 15, about pruning, that God prunes. And he says, and Jesus says, that which does not bear fruit, my Father cuts away. And that the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes. So guess what? They're both getting cut up. They're both getting cut. And cut away, this cutting away of self is the only way to be spirit-filled. It's the only way to have an intimacy with the Lord. You have to empty out self. What?
Because we're living sacrifices.
That's right. That's right.
So it's painful sometimes to be a living sacrifice.
It is.
Because you die a tiny little bit.
And it hurts.
You're not that different from the animal that was sacrificed. You're just doing it a little tiny bit at a time.
That's right.
For the rest of your days.
And transformed. And transformed. But not on your own, Romy.
But not on your own.
Never on your own. Only truly of the power of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So we are do not conform. And I did connect Ephesians 4:22 and 24 because I did connect with that spirit of the mind when we talked about living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, and then being transformed by. Did you want to say anything on that page? I said, are any of these words similar to Ephesians 4:22-24? I already kind of said that.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, right. I didn't want to step on you if you had more wisdom there. Okay, so in your own words, sum up the biblical precept that ties together Ephesians 4:22-24 and Romans 12:2. I'll read them both together, and you collect your thoughts. I've done a little bit of that already. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what is the biblical precept that God is teaching us if we put these two, knock these two together?
Can I?
Please.
What I think I heard was we must be transformed. We have to be transformed to know the perfect will of God for our lives. I think that's what both of them are saying, that we have to be transformed.
Yes, I agree with you.
There's no getting around that.
Right.
To know his
will.
That's right.
Be transformed.
Yes. What do you think, Romy?
I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
What Jan just said. Because I wasn't really sure. Like, I get caught up a lot in the how. And not so much as the
I know you do.
The higher I know that level about you. Of it. Like, yeah. I get caught up in the minutiae of the how do I mm-hmm. versus really thinking about what the actual message is.
Mm-hmm. You know? I know like, that about
like
you.
Like, you want yep. that. I want, that's what I want.
How do I get that? Chance.
How do I do that? What do I have to follow? What do I have to, tell yeah. me what to do, God? You yeah. know, versus, you know, how you so eloquently explained it, Jan, which I thought was really good.
But, well, and Jan said something that is critical for you, and I know you pretty well, and you and I have done life together for a while now, and I know that. You always come to me with, how do I do that? That's one of your most common questions.
Yeah.
How right. how do I know God's will? You just asked.
Yeah.
How do I live this out?
Right.
And what she just said is we must be transformed. Let me say this. It doesn't say we must transform ourselves. It means we must allow ourselves to be transformed.
Right.
And to satisfy you, the how of that is abiding, growing.
Trusting.
You know, listen, the truth of the how is...
But, you know, that actually goes back to the legalism of it. Like sometimes it's not so important in the how as it is to just allow God to work in you.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And the truth of the how is Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Right.
That's the truth of the how.
Right.
Seek first him.
Right. And then allow, and almost sort of like sit back and enjoy the ride and watch what he does.
That's right. That's hard for you. So, that's hard for you.
Yeah.
That's hard for all of us. What am I pointing a finger at you? Four fingers pointing back at me.
We all want the formula that gets us there faster, right?
And we want, well, more than that, Romy, we want to think we could be a part of the transformation. Right. We want to think that we have something to offer. This is the right. whole problem with salvation and right. the human mind. We can't fathom that we bring nothing.
Right.
And yet he gives it fully. That's the main problem with the big S salvation mm-hmm. and the living out of little S salvation all throughout. The problem is, we think we should bring something to the table. We want to feel like we can bring something to the table. It's ego. It's self-driven. We don't want to think of ourselves as so bereft that we bring nothing. Here again, Charles Spurgeon said that in this. Yeah. It says, but I have nothing that I can bring. And he says, do not bring anything. Just put on Christ.
Right.
There he is. Do not refuse him. I beseech you, do not refuse him.
Yeah.
This is always what we think. What can I bring? What can I do? When someone invites you to their house, what's the first thing you say?
What should I bring?
What should I bring?
Well, Jesus invites you into his house.
Right.
And your first response is, what should I bring?
Right.
And listen, he says in Romans 12:1, bring a living sacrifice. Yeah. But it is not going to get you in.
Right.
You're in.
Right.
You know, my favorite response is, just bring yourself. Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together and with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use in print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.